What's up, listeners? On today's pod, we're going to recap the Chiefs' 31-20 victory over the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and we'll follow that up with a debate about a hypothetical league-wide redraft. We'll also tell you which were the best and worst Super Bowl commercials and crown a winner of the halftime show. Before we get to Stumptown and our picks for the 2021 Super Bowl, Coin and I will give you a tribute to an iconic sandwich, the BLT. Let's do it.
Delta Stadium, 12 o'clock. Kale calls fighting sense, Kale calls fighting sense. Buckers up to Piosta, North Benton, South Benton.
What up, Coin?
What up, No?
Welcome, everybody, to the Rookie Show. I am one of your hosts, C. Travis Knoll, and joined with me, as always, is Elvis J. Coin. What up, Coin?
How dare you tell people my middle initial? That's a secret.
Oh, well, I could have been lying. I could have been making it up, but That's true. You just admitted to it, so you blew it.
No, it's a facade. It's a fake.
Your middle name's Facade?
It's a Fugazi. It's a Fugazi. It's a fairy dust.
Elvis Facade Coin.
That's right. I'm like DJ Khaled's son, Assad, except for I'm Facade.
Father of Facade.
That's actually not bad. Father of Facade. There's something there. We can work with that.
Mr. 503 / Father of Facade. I like that.
Mr. 503, Mr. Left Out of the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a bummer, man. We talked about that on the pod, right? We talked about we wanted to bet the yes at minus 500.
It was a lock.
It was a lock. I saw that since you like performed at the pregame show that it was like maybe less likely that he'd show up at halftime.
Right.
How was your Super Bowl day? How did that end up, your soiree?
I had a great Super Bowl day. I did have a pretty awkward scenario, though. So since I'm really bad at planning, we didn't really decide on what we were doing until the day before. And then I had two separate groups of like 7 or 8 people that thought they were coming over to our house to watch a Super Bowl. And our apartment is pretty small. And so I had to text my buddies and I was like, I'm really sorry. I did not get this out in time. And therefore, you and your roommates and girlfriends cannot come to our house. I'm really sorry. I felt like such a bad person. It really made me uncomfortable.
You know, and that's why I choose not to have any friends here, so I don't have to worry about situations
that
like
choice,
that.
For sure.
Because
for sure.
Katie and I invited over, she invited one of her friends and I invited one of my friends, and neither came. So the two of us ate all of our Super Bowl food alone.
Hey, man, that's not so bad still. At least you got lots of snackies. We ended up getting
ton of food, didn't have to clean up. Show off the house. I mean, our house wasn't a total disaster, but we was planning on maybe making it look nice and tidy for people and didn't have to do that. So not complaining.
It always feels good. Did you end up deciding on what was your staple? Did you go with wingies?
We did go with the wingies. So we kind of went in phases on the day because I felt like the Super Bowl was late. Maybe, is it always that late?
Well, it's in the day? In Chicago. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm used to. Yeah, I guess I've been in California the last couple of years. So, just like 5:30, I was kind of anticipating like a noon game. But so we ended up doing, started with some onion dip early on, then went to some 7-layer, and then started the game, got to the artichoke. So just went dip, 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 and then and then halftime broke out the wingies. And then to finish it off, I did in fact make some haystack cookies.
Oh, hell yeah. You going dip, dip, dip reminds me that this is the first football season / Super Bowl that I haven't been chewing. And I hadn't thought about it until just now, but I would say that a nice Copenhagen would have been a very refreshing cherry on top of my Super Bowl Sunday. I would have really enjoyed myself.
I can't relate to that. The key to going dip, 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 though, is different chips / dipping receptacles because you go potato chips, Lay's original, of course, for the onion dip.
So ridiculous.
You go potato chips, then tortilla chips, then the little slices of the French bread. So you're not really feeling like you're eating the same.
So you just went little slices of French bread for artichoke dip the whole way?
Katie also had some pita chips, but I stay away from the pita chips. Pita chips.
Meh.
They're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That does remind me. So unfortunately, we didn't have 7-layer dip, but we did. So we went and got wingies from this place here in town is called Fire on the Mountain, We did eat there, correct?
We did, yes.
We ate there after we went floating when we were here. We got 48 wings for like the 10 of us. It was pretty good. I definitely ate more than my fair share, as I'm akin to do. But we were shopping for chips and stuff beforehand too.
Yeah.
And we went to Safeway before the game.
Yeah.
Shout Safeway. They had a deal on chips that was buy two, get three free. I don't really understand how that business model works. It was like five bags of chips. Honestly, it scared us away. It was too many. I was like, I can't handle five bags of chips. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
That's an absurd deal.
Right? I was like, get the third free? Is that what that's supposed to say? And it's like, no, specifically five bags of chips for the price of two. I just don't even know what you do with that many chips.
If you were a grocery store owner, why wouldn't you just double the price of chips on the Super Bowl Sunday? Like,
thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Punish people, but only on the morning of. So punish people for waiting till the day of to buy their snacks.
We should have been punished.
You're fine.
Yes. Yeah. We should have been punished. We were walking in there. I was like, man, if we don't get half our stuff, I wouldn't even be that surprised. But then everything was there. And not only that, it was half off. I was like, this is a terrible business model. Ramp these prices up. Watch any economic video online.
Coin and Knoll grocery store coming to a city near you.
Oh, sick.
No one's going to go because we're going to be all expensive. Today,
so. It's like only on sports days throughout the year. It's just expensive as shit.
Last question. I assume you had only boneless wings or...
How dare you? How dare you even now, say that out loud?
You didn't get any boneless, right?
No boneless wings. Okay, all bone good. In. It's actually a pretty decent mix of flats and drummies. My one complaint, if I have one though... The Fire of the Mountain wings are really small. Like, they're maybe half the size of a normal wing that I would want, which kind of bothers me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
Maybe find a new wing spot.
They're still fire wings, though.
Those, fire
the
on
Thai, the... Thai peanut. Yeah.
That's really, always really a good. It's a good call.
Yeah.
How did you feel the next day? I know you were drinking. Did you feel about a bit sluggish from the Super Bowl food?
I was a bit sluggish, and I hate to get graphic on the podcast, but...
Go ahead. Bring it to me.
The bathrooms at my work were not enthralled by what I did to my body on Sunday.
Oh, that's disgusting.
it is. Wings and beer and chips and dip. The bacon guacamole was really, really good and not good to my body. So I enjoyed myself. The bathrooms did not enjoy me.
Thank you for sharing. I know the listeners really appreciate your you being candid in this time.
Thank you. I do have one more thing to say. So I told everybody that last week we were playing a flag football tournament at work.
Yes.
Absolutely balled out, obviously. First two games, I threw like 11 touchdowns. No picks. And then I definitely think I've gotten faster since football got over, which is me being irrational.
Well, hold on. You couldn't have gotten any slower.
Okay.
That was too easy.
I should have seen that coming. That was pretty stupid of me.
Yeah.
So I would say the one thing that does worry me sometimes at work is that I get insanely competitive and I get really fucking pissed off when stuff's not going right. And it was really rainy that first day. And there was a lot of drop balls on my team and I was throwing some bad ones too. But more than anything... We just had this old guy as one of our referees who just was disregarding all of the fucking rules of football and was just making it up as he went along. And this final game we were playing, which was really important, basically deciding the one seed out of our team, out of our league. And he's just giving this team a touchdown as this guy's bobbling it out the back, falls to the ground, rolls like 5 yards out of it, and then catches it, gets up and drops the ball because he knew he didn't catch it. And this old guy looks over at him. He's like, oh, that's a touchdown. I was like, what are you talking about? I like looked at him and actually yelled. And he said, he started catching it in bounds. He fell out and then he got control. That's good. Touchdown. And I was like, those aren't the rules. I was like, ooh, I got to temper myself. This old guy is just really doing this out of the kindness of his heart. And I was like, oh, this will be a one-off. No, he proceeded to fuck up like 20 more times that game. Oh, man, I was pissed. Really, yikes. Really angry.
Yikes.
That's all
was
I have to say.
Was that guy a volunteer or was he getting paid?
I don't know, man. Maybe. He probably was getting paid, which was really unfortunate.
I believe most of the story except for you doing well part. I don't
That's
that
totally
part,
fair. I didn't do that good.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's quit pussyfooting around here and get to the topic at hand, the Super Bowl, the recap. Kansas City Chiefs pull it out over the 49ers. Sorry, spoiler alert, if you haven't got a chance to watch your tape delay Super Bowl game, but
it's,
the Chiefs
it's
won.
It's Tuesday. I apologize to nobody. You also shouldn't be listening to this podcast. I don't know why the fuck you would listen to this if you
haven't
listened.
I was joking. I don't think anybody rewatches the Super Bowl.
No, I think they do. There's people out there.
Psychopaths. Real psychos. We had the Chiefs all the way. Were you ever worried that Chiefs were going to lose this game?
I think, as much as I want to be confident, there was actually a point where I was a little concerned, right? I'd say like 11 minutes left in the fourth, probably. I was getting kind of worried. There was the Niners seemed to be rolling, and it didn't seem like the Chiefs' defense could stop them still. They were all game long. They were just breaking off. It seemed every other play was a 12-yard play, and I wasn't sure what the Chiefs were going to be able to do to actually stop them. And then it just feels like Shanahan just kind of shut down again. Somewhat, but at the same time, the Niners players stopped making plays.
The reason that I was actually thought the Chiefs were going to lose was because there was a stretch where Mahomes just didn't look like himself, and he was kind of limp dick and throws, like it was kind of hesitant. Like usually he's just this confident swagger slinging it, and he was throwing these like comebacks and curls and stuff that just were coming out of his hand like softly. It's like he was hesitating, and it probably had something to do with all the pressure that Bosa and those guys were putting on him. But when he was doing that, and then he threw that last pick that went that was behind Tyreek, I thought to myself, okay, he's crumbling under the pressure. Like, I really had faith they were driving. I think there was about 8 minutes left. Right. And I thought they were going to lose up until the 3rd and 15 play that went for like 40 yards to Tyreek Hill. I was pretty confident that we were not going to win that one. And even after that play, I was weary.
Really? I think before the 3rd and 15, I was still very confident, but yes, you're right. It did feel like those first three quarters was like maybe the worst I'd ever seen Mahomes play. No?
Yeah, I agree. He did not look like himself. And like I said, it has to do with the pressure that was getting on him, but it looked like he was just being timid.
Right. I think you texted me it was at halftime or was it yesterday that there was a point you were ready to go back and say Russell Wilson again?
Yeah, that was probably right about that time where I thought to myself, when he threw that second pick, I said, Russ would have been playing better. Like, he wouldn't have made those throws. He would have made some of the misses that Mahomes had. So I thought to myself, okay, I might have to reconsider who my top choice is. But then the last 8 minutes changed my mind back. So.
You think you changed back?
Yeah.
God, I'm still not convinced. I have no idea.
Here's the thing. The Tyreek play, which was a play that Mahomes is probably one of the few guys that can do, just huck it up there to like the fastest guy in the league for that 3rd and 15 completion.
Right.
But even after that, I thought that play might have just been an aberration where Tyreek got wide open and Mahomes just hucked it, and I wasn't super confident they were going to come back. The play that I knew that the Chiefs were going to make a run at this thing was the Sammy Watkins inside release on Richard Sherman, torches him. And
that
then Mahomes with the pill down the sideline. And
such
as soon as he made that throw, I was like, okay, we got a shot. And then the Travis Kelce touchdown on that drive was when I was like, okay, the Chiefs are winning this game. So those
were
kind of
the
progression.
That was the touchdown they were still down, right? Obviously.
That was to bring them, within three. Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of the progression of like, okay, the 3rd and 15, maybe it's a chance. And then, the fade, like, okay, I'm getting back into this thing.
You know what's funny is I was saying how this was like the worst I'd seen Mahomes play. What I would say opposite of that is that this was the most reckless I'd seen him be with his body. Maybe the most reckless I'd seen a quarterback be with his body in any game. It feels like that scene in The Waterboy where the announcer is like, last game of the year, can't hold anything back. And Mahomes is just letting, like, flailing into defenders and just letting himself get fucked up. He got hit really hard, like, 5 times.
Yeah, especially that one towards the goal line where he'd, like, kind of slid, just got
that was
lit
stupid.
Up. I'm like,
that was
what
a terrible
are you
play.
Doing?
That was like the Josh Allen flip back play almost, where he was, like leaving the ball up in the air. What are you doing? Stop!
Yeah, especially for a guy that is so important. Like, his injury just crushes them, not only for this year, but for the future. So, Yeah, that was pretty damn nerve-wracking, but hey, it worked out, I guess.
You talked about that 3rd and 15 to Tyreek already. That's what I would say for me was kind of the defining play of the game or the moment everything shifted, I guess. Yeah. Do you have something different, or do you think that was kind of it? Do you think it was the Sammy Watkins one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the play that's going to be remembered in Super Bowl history is the 3rd and 15 to Tyreek, but my mindset in the moment was, okay, you got the fastest dude in the league and the dude with the biggest arm in the league connecting on a deep play where the safety just kind of got turned around. That didn't feel as, I mean, it was monumental. It was the biggest play of the game, but I thought that fade to Sammy Watkins was when I felt confident that Mahomes kind of had his groove back and that I thought the Chiefs were going to win the game. So I'm probably in the minority there, but I go defining play is that one for me.
Fair. You said the safety kind of got turned around. I implore you to go rewatch the tape.
Okay.
And watch the safety. Look at Tyreek. Recognize that that dude is the fastest guy in the league. The second that the safety turns his hips is when Tyreek breaks. It's one of the most beautiful routes I've seen in the last, I don't know, probably one of the best routes I've seen run this season. Tyreek makes a beeline at this guy's inside hip. The second the safety turns, he breaks the other way. Oh, my God. Dude, that guy's feet hitting the ground is unreal.
He's on another level. That speed's ridiculous.
It's really scary.
Is he as fast as you are playing flag football at Nike?
I would say maybe. Here's a hot take. Me compared to the other people at work.
Oh, my
pretty God. Comparable to Tyreek Hill on a football field. I'm that overconfident that I would say that, yes.
All right, let's talk Niners real quick.
Okay.
What did you think? So you alluded to Shanahan. What was your thoughts on the job he did in this game?
I thought Shanahan made the right calls, and I don't think he's the reason they lost this game. Jimmy G is not enough. Go for it.
I'm glad you said that because there are mixed feelings, you know, on social media, on ESPN and stuff. And I thought I totally fault him for not trying to get an extra possession at the end of the half where he didn't call
absolutely.
A timeout. That's kind of a no-brainer that everyone's in agreement was bad.
Yeah, he deserves the ridicule. They should have gone for it.
Should have gone for that. And then also a couple of those fourth and short field goals that they kicked in the first half. It's like you kind of got to get more points against the Chiefs. But his play calling in the fourth quarter to me was fine. I had no issue with it. Some of those throws, he had guys wide open.
The plays were there.
The plays were there, and they just missed the plays. I think they were stacking the box, and he was right not to run the ball sometimes. So anybody that questions his play calling, you know, because they want to make it a story similar to the Falcons, you know, blown loss, it's nothing like that, in my opinion.
Did you have to say it like that?
I'm sorry.
No, I totally get it.
Didn't announce it, right? They didn't.
That was crazy that
they
didn't say it. It was kind of stupid, honestly. I get that you're trying not to be what everybody thinks you're going to be, but you do have to acknowledge that at some point that this is the second time that Shanahan's blown a lead in the Super Bowl. And I would say, hey, Niners fans, Pip included, welcome to the Losers Club, baby.
The Shanahan choke jobs.
It sucks.
And the 49ers.
It sucks. We should get you know how people get maybe commemorative jerseys or towels or something to say that you're part of this club? We should just get leashes. Like dog collars with leashes. Let's say,
I like that.
Chokers Club, yeah.
Maybe alternate the Niners and the Falcons logo up the leash.
Oh, that'd be pretty. Both I like that. I have no problem with the way that Shanahan called that fourth quarter. There was one to Kittle that Jimmy G very obviously missed. The Sanders, the window was tight on the deep Sanders throw, but it was there. And I was really, I was actually really happy to see that Jimmy G aired it out.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was the pass rush of the Chiefs kind of getting there in the end. And they exposed Jimmy G for what he was. And just like who he was following up in New England, he's a system quarterback and he can only do so much.
Oh, okay. So let's get into Jimmy G. How do you feel about him before and after this game? Did it change? Do you think he can, you know, they can win a Super Bowl with him? Do they need to move on right away? Do they give him a chance? What's your thoughts if you were the 49ers?
I think that if you go to everything post that 49ers Saints game, I would have said that I wasn't that high on Jimmy G. But I don't think you can move on immediately from this guy who took you to a Super Bowl. I don't. I listened to somebody today that was saying that they should trade Jimmy G for Kirk Cousins straight up. I don't know what difference that gives you. I don't really know. Would you rather have Kirk?
Gosh, I don't know. They're right in that range to me. Right. You know, probably if you ranked the top quarterbacks in the league, they're probably in the 12 to 16 range, maybe, would you say?
Right. But at least with Jimmy G, you don't have the Kirk Cousins stink. I don't know. I feel like there's so many people in the league that kind of have this opinion of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk, he sort of silenced some guys this year. He had a really, really good year. He had a playoff win in New Orleans.
He played good as shit against New Orleans.
Yeah. Now, let me throw this at you. I don't know if this has been, thrown out on ESPN, but it came into my brain before I've seen it anywhere.
Word.
Jimmy G for Cam.
If I was the Niners, I would say no.
You would say no.
I thought about this earlier. Cam can't hit fucking anybody. That dude, all he does is overthrow receivers.
Okay, but you're thinking of the last year that you saw him, which was he was hurt all year. How about the year before that when he was the MVP?
That was years ago.
Okay, whatever. 2 years before that. My point is, the last year that he was really bad, he was definitely hurt all year long. And he didn't play last year.
Yeah.
I just think to have a guy like Shanahan be able to call plays with a quarterback with that athletic ability would be really fun. And maybe, look, if they almost made it to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G completing 8 passes a game on play action, Cam can make the throws that Jimmy G made this year, plus he can run. So it's like you can add an entire another element to the game. It's you can kind of model it after what Baltimore's doing and just totally, play your strengths, play the run game. I don't know. It seems to me like it'd be worth the gamble. And then Cam only has, I think, 1 year left on his contract. So if you're thinking about moving on from Jimmy G anyway, give Cam a year. And if it doesn't work out, then go a different direction.
I can't imagine that the Niners are thinking moving on already.
I don't think so either. It's probably overreaction Monday, Tuesday. But I personally think...
You would do that? You think you would do that if you're both teams?
I don't know necessarily how that helps the Panthers. I imagine the Panthers, if they get rid of Cam, are looking more of a rebuild thing. And Jimmy G's got like a 4-year, $25 million a year contract. So that doesn't really help them. So
I think you stick with Jimmy G. This is the guy's first year back from an ACL injury. He's fine. You're fine. I also was just thinking as I said it, though, that if I was the Vikings, I would say no to Kirk for Jimmy G.
Kirk for Jimmy G. I agree. If I'm the Vikings, I say no.
Right.
I probably neither team does it, just for sake of keeping things the same.
Right. Niners, you're fine. You are in a window, though, so you should be really pressing your front office to get things done, because these good defenses don't last forever. Look at what happened. I guess not what happened to the Seahawks. The Seahawks also have Russell Wilson, and Jimmy G is not Russell Wilson.
No, I'm afraid not.
No.
We'll have to ask a 49ers fan. Let's ask Pip what he thinks about quarterback situation going forward. All right, let's talk about the winning team then. The Kansas City Chiefs, really, you could argue, was the best team in the league last year and this year. I mean, they could easily have 2 Super Bowls in a row at this point if what's-his-name doesn't jump off sides against the Pats in the AFC Championship game. What do you feel? Do you feel any different or the same or happy or sad about Andy Reid?
I don't feel any different about him as a coach. I'm just happy that he finally got this. I think he deserves it. He's one of the defining, probably, he's number 2 of the 2 best coaches in the NFL of our lifetime, probably, right? Between Belichick and him.
If you just talk longevity and just always in it every single year, no matter who he's got, and he's always a threat.
Right. Like this dude could lead Matt Moore to a 38-27 win. That's just kind of who he is. He's a great game planner, a really strategic coach. And I'm jacked that he got his Super Bowl, and that guy is definitely the fattest, winningest Super Bowl coach in NFL history. So congrats on being fat and winning.
That's important. He seems like an awesome coach to play for. Like, just a guy that everybody loves. And yes, you could see it in the media and with his players and stuff. They just love him. So kudos to him.
Yeah, some elite memes after the game. Did you see the stuff about how he was saying how he spent the night with his trophy wife and not the trophy?
Mm-hmm, I did.
And then people were just posting the video of Shakira going...
No, I didn't see that.
It was all good. I really enjoyed all of it.
That's pretty gross. No, Andy's Andy's wife was good looking. She was on the post game show. I'm like, nice,
good
Andy.
Good for you, Andy.
Good for you, Andy. Out kicking his coverage. What was I going to say? Oh, you know, I think the reason I discounted the Chiefs before the year is because I really felt like the Tyreek Hill karma would catch up to them, and it super didn't. Like, he got hurt at the beginning of the year. I'm like, yep, sounds about right. That's what you get for beating your kid. And then, nope, no karma. They just won the Super Bowl, and he played a big part. So I guess there is no karma. There's no such thing.
There's no such thing as karma. This team was kind of funny. When they went on that weird losing streak in the middle of the year, not even streak, I think they lost two games in a row maybe. Right after Mahomes got hurt, or right after he came back, one of the two.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that they were going to, all right, I was like, okay, the Chiefs are going to get into the playoffs, like 10-6. They're going to have to make some moves. And then it all just kind of fell into place, and the Chiefs ended up at 12-4 and just ran train.
Yeah.
It was weird. And yeah, they were definitely the best. They've been the best team over the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's funny. If Mahomes doesn't get hurt, then we probably are thinking of this as like a juggernaut team that probably went. Maybe you're probably 14-2, probably match the Ravens.
Right.
But they kind of sort of felt on the back burner. And I think it probably helped them to not be in the limelight. And you had all the pressure on Lamar and the Ravens. And
right.
Mahomes, they kind of snuck into that bye on the last week and just kind of all fell into place. It was pretty cool.
Right.
Mahomes, I want to mirror what you said and what we kind of talked about earlier. I've never seen him flustered like that before. And the fact that he was able to get over that hump and still win the Super Bowl kind of says to me that, okay, this dude's indestructible and he's going to be a problem for the rest of the league.
He's a problem.
15 years. I think what separates him is people have been throwing out his crazy quarterback rating on third and long, like third and 15. And the fact that he's just as likely to get a first down on third and 15 as he is on third and 2 is what separates him from Jimmy G and really any quarterback in the league. It's absurd. Every time I watch the Chiefs all year, I'm thinking, I'm not worried about third and 12. I'm not worried about third and 16. It's just like, okay, it doesn't really matter to them.
Right. That's a really good observation. And what I was thinking about as you're talking about it is it's crazy how the divisions in the quarterbacks in the NFL, the third and long seems to be like an exponential growth as you get to like the quarterbacks who are better. The ones that are top shelf are exponentially better than the mid-tier quarterbacks. And it's because their coaches, like Andy Reid, trusts Patrick Mahomes so much. And Pete Carroll trusts Russell Wilson so much. And 16, Shanahan trusted Matt Ryan. And 2011, 2012, Aaron Rodgers was just trusted by everybody. Those dudes, their coaches are just like, yeah, go make the plays. It's all good. And that's what makes them like truly great and terrifying in those situations.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at and read analytics, Twitter and NFL people who are really into analytics, they talk about how running the ball on second and long is a really bad play. It makes no sense because now, and this is amplified when you have Patrick Mahomes, because you should only run on second down if you're intending on getting the first down. Because there's no difference for Patrick Mahomes between third and 10 and third and 6. Running to get a third and manageable is absurd. Because he's going to throw a pass and he's going to get probably 10 yards. It doesn't matter. You might as well give him two shots at it. Let him throw on second and 10, try to get a first. And if he does, it gets incomplete, he's probably going to get it on third. So early in this game, Andy Reid was actually running quite a bit on like second and 10, second and 9. And I was like, come on, man, let him air it out. So I don't know if that threw out his rhythm at all, but something that I think is indicative of how much confidence, like you said, you have in your quarterback.
Right. And that's kind of it kind of goes hand in hand with the all NBA's dunks and 3-point revolution. Like, I kind of even think that every second down should be treated as a deep shot. Like, just go ahead and go for it. That's your free down. Like, get a chunk play on first down or don't. Doesn't really matter. And then go ahead and throw the ball deep on second down. Why not? Like, what are you losing?
Yeah, I think the only time, if you have second and 1 second and two, I think running in short-routed situations is analytically sound. And then also running, play-action bombs is high reward, low risk, I guess you could say.
I would even say second and 1 second and two would be the exact time that I want to go for a bomb, because then you have third and short.
Yeah.
So, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we agree on that.
Yeah.
Did Mahomes deserve the MVP is the ultimate question.
I actually have some numbers for you if you're interested in
hearing. Spout some numbers. We haven't gotten into the numbers.
I'm ready for it. You ready?
Let's hear it.
So this is the defense for Damian Williams I'm going to present first.
Good.
Damian Williams, the only player in Super Bowl history with 100 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown and 20 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown.
Oh.
It has only happened 7 times total in the playoffs, actually.
Mm.
So even if you lower it to 50 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, 20 receiving yards, receiving touchdown, it was only Damian Williams and Roger Craig in the Super Bowl. And then if you make it any 2 touchdowns, plus 50 rushing and 20 receiving, only 4 times has it happened. The 2 added, besides Williams and Roger Craig, are Eddie George,
nice,
who did it in a losing effort, and then Emmitt Smith, who did it in an MVP winning effort for the 94 Cowboys, I believe.
Nice.
Yeah. Even after all that being said, I still felt like after the game that Mahomes deserved the MVP. That last 7-minute stretch or 8-minute stretch where they went on a tear, it was all due to Mahomes.
Yeah. I don't... The thing is, even if Damian Williams doesn't break out that run at the end of the game, it's still over. Like,
right.
I think there's like a minute and change left. They just need like one more first down. He could have kneeled down as soon as he got past the first down and the game's over. So those stats were kind of empty in a way. It's kind of weird to say like the game-clinching 40-yard touchdown was empty, but it kind of was.
It's inflated stats, if nothing else. Like if he would have just went down, it would have been the same exact thing, right?
Exactly.
If he got a 10-yard rush instead of a 40-yard touchdown.
Exactly. Now, he did have some awesome plays. He was chipping D linemen on his routes. He was making moves and making guys miss. He was great, but yeah, it's got to be Mahomes for me. I mean, not a lot of guys can do what he did even after a crappy 3 quarters, but he brought him back when it mattered most. So, yep, I give it to him. Plus, I bet on it. So
yeah, exactly. And so also Mahomes is one of only 3 quarterbacks ever with 2 passing and 1 rushing touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know the others?
One was Joe Montana and the other was, I can't remember. I deleted it.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
So all said and done, 49ers Chiefs Super Bowl LIV live, Super Bowl live, which is a preface to
some good memes.
Where would you rank this in terms of like recent Super Bowls, in terms of entertainment value and, overall, just was it a good Super Bowl?
I would say yes, it was a good Super Bowl. Probably a pretty highly rated one. And if I didn't do last 10, I did last 5.
Okay.
So I did my top 5 as Eagles, Pats, Super Bowl is number 1 for the last 5 years. This one I actually put number 2.
Okay.
Number 3, Pats over Falcons, just because I understand I'm maybe a little biased. It probably should be 2, but... For the first 3 quarters of that game, only one team was doing good. And then for the fourth quarter of that game, the other one was shitting on the other team. So it wasn't really that great.
Yeah, it wasn't back and forth. Yeah.
No. Denver, Carolina, I maybe should be. No, definitely not. That was, I don't even remember anything about that game. And then last year's Patriots, Rams Super Bowl was fucking terrible. That game sucked.
It was horrible. It was horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those first 3 have to rank pretty high. In terms of all-time great Super Bowls.
Absolutely.
The last 2 were awful. Last year was like the worst Super Bowl ever. So maybe just by contrast, we felt like this one was better. But no, I think it was up there. I think it was solid.
Would you put Pats over Cunz over it still?
It's hard because although I didn't have nearly as much invested as you, I was still definitely rooting for the Falcons in that one. And I was definitely rooting for the Chiefs in this one. So you have to tie your emotions to it, unfortunately.
Right.
If I try to eliminate those, I probably say, is that a PBR?
Oh, it sure is.
Oh, sick. I probably say the Falcons one is a better game, overtime, crazy comeback, but it's close. It's close.
Okay. I like that. Side note on the PBR, I think I'm going to have my brother mail me some Ling Ling so we can drink. Can you get Yinglings in Chicago, right?
No, you can get them close. Like if you drive down to Indiana, you can get them.
We should get some Yinglings and do a Yingling pot again.
I do like me some Yinglings.
All right, that's my last Super Bowl notes.
Okay, so I did see a tweet yesterday or today that sparked my intrigue about Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to do a little exercise with you here. So
I'm ready.
Let's say the entire NFL decided to throw all their players back into a pool and just redraft. Everyone gets to pick their team in a 32-team draft. Let's say you have the first two rounds, you have the number one pick in the draft. I think it's a pretty much consensus that Patrick Mahomes is going to be the number one pick in the draft. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So, sorry, let me preface this to the listeners by saying age is taking into account. This is not just who's going to win the Super Bowl next year. We're talking for the future. So age takes into account. We're not taking into account current contracts. We're going to assume we're starting over with contracts.
Right.
So Patrick Mahomes is the first pick. So the question is how good Patrick Mahomes is that big enough of a difference to where you would rather have the number one pick and then, you know, whatever it comes back around to you in the snake draft, so the 64th pick in the second round, those are your top two picks, or would you rather have the second and third pick in the entire draft as the first two picks? So I guess the question becomes, is Mahomes that much better than the next quarterback to where it warrants you not getting the best non-quarterback in the draft? What is your take?
My take is no, he's not. I would rather have, you know, for somebody who is a noted and quoted Seahawks hater, I have really been riding Russell Wilson's dong the last 6 weeks.
We both have, and I think that's one of the reasons Pip thinks we're a 49ers hate podcast. But we used to be big Hawks haters.
We hated on the Hawks more than anybody.
Like, even before this season, we were picking them to miss the playoffs.
Just frauds. We were just calling them frauds the entire season. And then somewhere, I don't know, week 8 or something like that, I was like, Russell Wilson is the real deal. I love this guy.
Is it the curly hair? Is that what's doing it for us?
I definitely don't like his look, and I don't like his personality. I don't know what his deal. I just think he's an awesome football player.
Okay, so make the case then. So who are you picking? So let's say I get the one pick. I'm taking Mahomes. Who are you picking, number 2 and 3?
I just don't think that the gap between Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson is far enough for me to not take Russell Wilson and Aaron Donald, or Aaron Donald or Russell Wilson and Khalil Mack. And I would even probably put, this is the only third one I listed, this is a distant third, but I would say Russell Wilson and even, which is funny enough, another Seahawk, Bobby Wagner.
So here's the thing. Maybe if you're just talking about for next year, it's not the thing, but Russell Wilson is 7 years older than Patrick Mahomes.
Is he 31? I thought he was 29.
No, he is. So you are getting an additional 7 years of the best 24-year-old quarterback the league has ever seen. So I think if you're going to try to make the case that it's Russ and Aaron Donald, I still go Mahomes. Now, I think those are definitely the two top quarterbacks in the league. The only guy you could potentially talk me into would be Deshaun Watson. And I know that sounds like
I thought about this one.
The same age as Mahomes. And if you're saying if he's going to give you 80% of Mahomes plus you get Aaron Donald, then I can see where you can make the case that, you know, the number one overall non-quarterback in the draft is that much better than the 64th best player in the draft.
I thought about this, and I think I knew you were going to bring it up, that Deshaun Watson was up in the air because of the age difference. I think that Russ probably still has 5 or 6 great years left.
Okay.
Like, great years in his career left. I think that that's fair. Like, any team he's on is basically a contending team. I like Deshaun. I personally don't think that he is, if you're saying that he's 80% of Mahomes, which I think that that's a little high, probably. Okay. Maybe 70%. That's not worth it to have Russell Wilson, who is maybe in the 90 to 95% of Mahomes' range.
So let me ask you then, so would you rather have Mahomes than Watson and Donald? So is Russ the only guy that you take pick 2 and 3 over 1? Or you still take 2 and 3?
I really think so, yeah.
Wow.
I think you have to give me Russell Wilson if I'm not getting Mahomes.
How many elite years does Mahomes have left?
14. I don't know.
Yeah. Is it just playing the numbers game there? Okay.
Dude, well, what you know would be crazy is if if Mahomes pulled a luck on all of us and he was just like, man, I hate getting hit. And at 29 years old, he's like, I'm fucking out.
It could happen, but he also could have 4 Super Bowls by then. If
you know what's crazy? You know what else is crazy? Is that Mahomes has already had a better career than Andrew Luck. He's already better.
He's already had like the 9th best career of any quarterback ever. Like, how many quarterbacks have a regular season MVP, a Super Bowl MVP, and all the like ridiculous records that he threw for last year? Like, he could retire now and you could make the case for him in the Hall of Fame. I know that sounds absurd, but I mean, how many Super Bowl MVPs are not in the Hall of Fame? Probably none.
Probably none. But longevity plays in. If he retired next year, I had a vote, which we don't yet. Yet we don't have votes. We are not credentialed.
Media members.
Yeah. I wouldn't vote him in after 3 years. Yeah. No, you need longevity.
You're right. But what if he plays for 5 years and wins 2 Super Bowl MVPs and throws for an average of 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns?
Yes. He's in? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got this one for me.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's a fun debate.
Yeah, I think so too. Let us know if you think differently. Let us know if you think you'd take another quarterback and other player combo, or if you take 2 quarterbacks, blow our mind. 2 running backs? I don't know.
I think the tweet that started this debate specifically said you can't take 2 quarterbacks, but you know, let's play the game.
Right.
That was my other question is. It really mattered. How many teams are taking a quarterback in the first round or the first 2 rounds if this actually happened?
Every single team is taking a quarterback. Probably until the first 10 picks, probably.
Okay,
right?
10. Okay, that's my question is how many? Once you get into like what,
Kirk Cousins
range, you're waiting on him? Like, I don't know. It's a good question.
Kirk Cousins, you're probably still taking over any other player.
What are you getting to like the... Are you taking Baker Mayfield in the first round?
Would you rather have Baker Mayfield to start your team or Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack?
Yeah, the big guys.
Yeah, big guys too. I agree.
We could probably do a whole pod on that.
Yeah, we could.
We'll save that. I want to real quick, give an angle from the outfield that I meant to do a while ago while we're talking about quarterbacks in the league. So a couple pods ago, I brought up the class of 2012 quarterbacks, which was Andrew Luck, RG3, Tannehill, I don't know why I said that. Russell Wilson, Osweiler, that's what I meant to say.
Oh, Brock. What up, buddy?
My guy. So all these dudes that were, Kirk Cousins, of course, all in the same draft class. Our good friend and good listener, Daniel Sally, gave a phenomenal nickname for this group of quarterbacks, and they will henceforth be known as the Pills Mafia. How do you feel about the Pills Mafia?
It's a phenomenal name. It's a great name.
It's a phenomenal name. I don't know if that's the right group to give this phenomenal name to, but because having said that, Andrew Luck's gone, RG3 blows, you got Brandon Whedon in there, so...
Yeah, maybe we save Pills Mafia for somebody else. We can get Daniel's approval on another group.
Yeah, if we come up with a better crew to name it, but it has to be a group that is connected in some way. And so for now, it's the class of 2012 quarterbacks, the Pills Mafia.
Bar is set real low.
Brandon Whedon's a big listener of ours. Congrats, Brandon.
Be Weeds. Let's go, buddy.
Really nice job there, Brandon.
He's doing a really nice job out there.
Oh, man. All right. So how did you do on your props? Real quick. Last Super Bowl topic.
I would say that I didn't do great on my props, but I did win money.
We did win money. The two of us did.
Yeah.
Are there any in particular you wanted to point to?
Yes. Over 3.5 Chiefs to score. Easy money.
Nice.
Bang. 4 Chiefs scored.
It ended up at 4, right?
Yeah.
Well, but you didn't need it. You didn't sweat that because...
No, really, I wasn't worried.
Yeah, it was like midway through the fourth you hit that, right? Kelsey?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. What else?
I wish I would have put $1,000 on tails. It never fails. I knew it was going to win.
Ugh, that was probably the best part of the game.
Oh my God. What a start to the day. I was so jacked when that happened. That was a big bet. I'll leave this one for you because this is your bet. This is really good.
Okay.
Mahomes MVP, I guess. That was a good one. I'm really happy I had that.
Yeah, for sure.
That
seems like a no-brainer in hindsight, but
yeah.
I would like to point a few things out for our avid listeners, just to remind them that Coyne and Noel do kind of know what they're talking about. So, start of the playoffs, I threw out the bet that was about minus 170 that it would be either Chiefs, Ravens, or Saints to win the Super Bowl. That hit. I won about $50 on that. After the first round, or sorry, when the playoffs started, you and I both picked the Chiefs to make the Super Bowl and lose to the Saints. Right. Now, after the second round, so at the start of the divisional round, you and I both said Chiefs winning the Super Bowl for three straight rounds. So,
yep.
Little kudos there. I know we changed our pick after the first round, but hey, that's a pretty good pick. We knew.
I don't feel like we wavered either, right?
No, we didn't waver. We were always. I think you even picked Chiefs over Niners, and I picked Chiefs over Packers.
I did indeed pick Chiefs over Niners.
Even more kudos to you. We actually put our money where our mouth is with Mahomes MVP, and that was before they beat Tennessee in the AFC Championship. Great bet. And then finally, when we bet our scores last week, I had Chiefs by 9, Elvis had Chiefs by 10, and it was Chiefs by 11. So, kudos. A little tap on the back because my gambling in 2020 had been trash up until the Super Bowl.
Garbage. So, straight
back
garbage.
Back on track. Yeah. Back on track.
I would say I forgot a couple.
Okay.
One that it wasn't on my sheet because it went away. Drilled it, though, the touchdown or scoring drive in less time than the national anthem. Drilled it. Yep. Easy money.
It was a good bet.
Yeah. That was the only real one that I drilled that it wasn't there. Unfortunately, ones I was bullish on was the over 59.5 total yards for Chiefs touchdowns. So on that last minute Damian Williams play, I thought that was like a 50-yard run, and I stood up and I lost my fucking mind at this party. I was losing it. Everybody is high-fiving everybody, explaining to them what just happened, and then I sat down and looked at how long it was, and I just never corrected myself. I just wanted everybody to be happy.
Nobody has to know that I didn't win.
No. Yeah, so if they're listening now, I think I told Skylar, but yeah, if they're listening now, it wasn't good.
I had one, in my opinion, bad beat. It really wasn't a bad beat, but and I pointed it out to you and Daniel, but with 30 seconds left in the first quarter, Patrick Mahomes is running for a touchdown. If he gets tackled on that play, the quarter ends. Therefore, the under for the first quarter of 10-point hits, which was one of my bets. The 49ers are leading at the end of the first quarter, which I had on a double result for, you know, Chiefs at the first and 49ers at halftime. And then also that touchdown happens in the second quarter, which I had the big bet on the Chiefs to outscore the 49ers in the second quarter. So three different bets that if they had just gotten tackled on that play, I would have hit, and I didn't. So that's unfortunate, but
that was a big one. There was also, so similar to the 15.5 yard one, was the Sammy Watkins throw. I think if that throw goes for a touchdown, I win like four different bets, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's always rough.
That's okay.
The ones that I won on were there where was no score in the first 6.5 minutes. That was a pretty good winner. Probably my favorite bet of the whole Super Bowl was no field goals over 47.5 yards.
That was just great easy by you.
In fact, I hope that's the bet next year. We're going to bet it every year from here on out. If they're setting the line that high.
It was only $12.50 for $10, right?
Minus 125. Pretty close to even odds.
Yep. Great bet.
Mahomes, two touchdown passes in a quarter. We sweat that one out till the fourth, but it hit, of course.
Getting nervous.
Positive odds. And, of course, Team Ruff, +7.5. Lost but covered. What an incredible ending to that game. Now, I have a bone to pick with the selection committee of the MVP.
Nice. Did you do that on purpose?
No, I actually didn't. I wish I could give myself credit for that. That was a good play on words there. So they list at the end of the game the three options for MVP. And there's one male who happens to be on the winning team.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense. And the other two finalists are females on the losing team. I'm like, oh, I got this in the bag. Team Ruff won, so the MVP is going to be from Team Ruff. No, sure enough, Gina wins it. And I wanted to say, Gina, what's up? But that
I was going to say Gina, damn it.
But I've come to find out that it's all based on hashtags from Twitter is the vote. So
what?
Next year, we're going to get all of our listeners to hashtag whatever gender of puppy that we decide we want to bet. So, and we can just bombard the puppy bowl with hashtags. I think we can swing it. I don't think a lot of people are tweeting the MVP.
Wait,
of the
so you
bowl.
You bet the it's the hashtag of the gender, so people are like hashtag female.
No, but I'm saying if they're like they throw out the hashtags of finalists throughout the game. So it's not like you can like they narrow it down throughout the game. So whenever right. like they say, "Hey, if you want to vote for Aspen to win the MVP, vote for hashtag Aspen." Now, that right. was a tough one because I didn't know what gender Aspen was. But if the person's named Gina and we bet female, then all of our listeners can tweet, "Vote Gina, vote Gina, vote Gina." So next year.
Well, you hear it. You heard it here first, Rookie Show listeners. We're going to be tweeting out hard next year.
Next year's Puppy Bowl.
We're going to rig the Puppy Bowl.
Good work. Feels good to win money on our last week.
It does feel good. I came out after... Just including the bets on the Super Bowl, I was plus like $25, but I also won my Super Bowl like party prop sheet for an extra $40, so that was nice.
It was a good day.
It was a good day.
Quickly, let's go top three Super Bowl commercials that
okay.
you saw.
I did my top three best, top three worst. Do you want to hear them?
Yes.
Okay. So starting from the bottom, actually from, I had to do it, honorable mention.
Oh, no.
The SodaStream Mars Water commercial was actually pretty funny. He's like, "Oh, I thought it said Mark's Water." Mm-hmm. Not bad. I'll take that. That's good. Cheetos can't touch this commercial at three. Good commercial.
Nice. Yeah.
Two, the Jeep Bill Murray Groundhog Day. This is pretty good. Pretty
solid.
Good.
Agreed.
My favorite commercial, though, was the Old Town Road Doritos Cool Ranch dance-off between Lil Nas X and Sam Elliott. Anytime you can get that mustache worming. It's good. It's good stuff.
The mustache worm was good. I had my number one was SodaStream, Mark's Water.
Really?
Big fan of Mark's Water. I thought that was nice, subtle, funny.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
My number two was Cheetos Can't Touch This. I'm pretty surprised we had two of the top three. I wasn't that big of a fan of the Doritos one. I had heard about it and it kind of let me down a little bit. For some reason, I kind of like the Smat Pack. When they were doing the Boston accent.
You like that one? Oh, my God. I wanted that commercial to end so badly when they were doing it.
I liked it. The Smat Pack.
Yeah, back the Smat Pack. Oh, God. Have you seen that? The tweet that's like, "Oh, Boston male accent voted sexiest male accent."
No.
Or second sexiest male accent in America.
No.
And then somebody quotes it and says, "All other accents tied for first."
That's really funny. Yeah. We need to get Twitter famous.
Yeah, we do.
What are the worst three?
All right, worst three. Guess reverse honorable mention is Google and Facebook. Listen, just don't try to make me like you. I'm just against the system already. Don't do it. It's not going to work.
I only want to cry happy tears at a Budweiser commercial, not a Facebook
Bingo.
Commercial.
I'm only going to cry at dogs and horses. Third worst. The Planters trying to make a play on Baby Yoda with the baby peanut. Get out of here.
Bad. It was bad.
Bad. Boo.
Boo.
Two, Snickers The World Is Hungry commercial. Lame.
I was kind of stepping out for that one. I didn't see it. I was like, what the hell is happening? So
yeah. I assume that I hope that they actually kind of get some flack about being reverse woke about climate change, and people are like, "You guys are making light of this," but that would be really funny. That would actually make me like the commercial if that happened.
Okay, what's the worst?
The worst one, this kind of pains me. The whole Tide saga with Charlie Day having the stain on his shirt just wasn't ever funny, and it happened 5 times during the Super Bowl. Get off my screen. You ruined the first four. I don't want to see a fifth one.
Yeah, don't sell out, Charlie. Come on. You're better than that, Charlie.
That being said, we are definitely available to sell out if anybody wants to give us an ad.
Pick the worst script for the worst Super Bowl commercial of all time, and I will do it. I will pay to do it.
Just get
me on screen. Get me on screen.
Last note is that don't ever put Chrissy Teigen on my screen.
That was not good either.
It was a terrible commercial.
I didn't get it. It was dumb.
Stupid.
Bad job by you guys.
Bad job by you.
Okay, now this is the actual last question on the Super Bowl. Who won the halftime show, Shakira or J-Lo?
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to defer to you. I had to go flip the wings that were in the oven while they were performing. I had a tendency to give it to Shakira as well, but I didn't see the whole thing. So we're in agreement, though?
Yes. I would like to say really quickly, both of these women can get it.
Can get what?
A date with me. J-Lo is 50 years old. She is a dime.
It's unbelievable.
She's so hot.
Both of them.
She's also worth $400 million and gets to make A-Rod sign a prenup when they get married. So suck that, A-Rod. That sucks.
She's worth more than Rob Schneider?
Barely. Also, before this Super Bowl, I'm not going to say that I could have definitely picked Shakira out of a lineup of women that looked similar to her.
Really?
I knew kind of what she looked like, but she looked different there than what I thought.
You never watched the She-Wolf music video?
Side note, that on our prop sheet, I picked, the reason I won our prop sheet is because I guessed She-Wolf would be the first song, but that was because I wanted it to be. I love that song.
I wanted it to be as well, and I wouldn't have picked it because I would not have thought it would have. So
it was a last-ditch effort. Yeah, good thank work. You. Appreciate it.
Okay, congrats to Shakira.
Shakira looked great.
The Juana woman among girls. That doesn't make any sense.
We'll workshop that.
It's like the what's a movie where a girl dresses up as a boy?
She's the man.
She's the man. Or I was gonna go with Motocrossed, the Disney Channel, the DCOM. Oh,
DCOMs?
Yeah. So shout out to Shakira for the Motocrossed Man Among Boys Award.
That's not bad. That's actually not bad.
Okay, good.
We'll send her a signed copy of Motocrossed.
The first and last ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly, we have a quick debate. We're at an hour, so...
Are we already? Oh, wow.
One non-football topic that was brought up on our text message thread. One of my favorite foods of all time, maybe my favorite food of all time, is simply the BLT. The bacon, the lettuce, and the tomato on the toast is one of the greatest inventions known to man. What is it that makes BLT so great?
I think that the greatness of BLTs lies in the simplicity of it. It is the perfect combination of three completely distinct textures and food types. Mm-hmm. Those all culminate together in what I think to be maybe the peak, the epicenter, maybe the
epitome?
The epitome of sandwiches.
No, not
epitome doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. I didn't know where you were going.
No, yeah, no. I lost it.
The
something of sandwiches.
We'll think of it. Yeah. It's the best one.
It's the best.
Here's my thing about bacon is bacon should be the main meat on a thing. I don't want bacon on my burger necessarily. I don't want bacon on a club sandwich that has turkey on it. I don't want my shrimp wrapped in bacon. I want bacon to be the meat in my deal. All right? So
yes.
I think that's one of the reasons, because it's just so strongly, it's not a compliment. It is the meal. Similarly with breakfast, I want bacon just by itself on the side. I don't want it in my burrito necessarily with eggs and things. If you're going to give me an egg burrito or an egg sandwich, put sausage on that thing, and then just give me a strip of bacon to eat by itself. It doesn't need help.
The pinnacle of sandwiches. That's what I was looking for, just so you know. Yes.
So, BLT, that's why it's so great. So, the argument between us, though, is what are the most important ingredients in a BLT, and how would you rank them? I know this is a question that our listeners have been dying to know. Yeah, real quickly, you can comment on the meats.
Good. All I want to say is I totally agree.
Your catchphrase. all right. Rank the ingredients out of necessity or... I'll tell you how I did it. We probably did it a little differently, but we're ranking the ingredients of a BLT.
I ranked them by importance to me.
I did too, but I think to me there are four mandatory ingredients, and without any of them, it's not a BLT. So I'm ranking those four in order of how important it is that that ingredient is of a certain high quality.
Right. And so this is the text message that sparked the entire debate. Was yes. I texted you definitely just completely out of the blue, as I'm right. akin to do.
Sure.
I said, I think I have a hot take for you. Lettuce is the most important part of the BLT.
And, Coyne, you know what? You are absolutely right. That was a hot take. And when I say hot take, I mean the worst take in the history of the planet. But go ahead and give me your rankings of the BLT ingredients.
Okay. Just, I think that lettuce is incredibly important. I don't know why. I've always loved lettuce as a food. I'm a huge texture eater. So texture over everything besides taste, I guess, has always been extremely important to me. And the way the lettuce crunches and adds like a bed to the entire sandwich you're making has always been extremely important to me.
Okay.
When you lay down a BLT and the bed of lettuce, bang, tomato, bang, bacon. Wait, no, bacon, then tomato. And then you do the mayos on the outsides. This is what makes the sandwich.
See, interesting, because we also have different methods of making BLTs in order of constructing them. But quickly, I want to go back to what you just said.
Sorry.
You said that. Well, I'm interrupting, though. You said that texture is most important besides taste. Can you tell me what other factors are playing a role here? Is color a role? What are we talking here?
I cannot tell you what else is a factor.
Okay.
It might even be over taste to me. I don't know. I've not decided yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyways.
So lettuce number one. On so the I BLT, go like which this. Which is ridiculous. Lettuce, okay.
Lettuce one. Yeah. I know, it's insane, but this is how I feel. Bread two.
Okay.
White bread probably, maybe sourdough. Okay. Definitely toasted.
Okay.
Three, bacon, which I'm even up in the air about. I could probably even switch this with four, tomato. Five is mayo.
So are you, what percent of satisfaction are you getting from a BLT that has no mayo on it?
Like 80% of normal satisfaction, probably.
Okay. See, that's where you and I differ. Here's the definitive BLT ingredient rankings. Number one important ingredient is the tomato. I need a thick, hearty, and fresh tomato. I need several slices. That is key to me.
I couldn't believe when you told me this, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
A BLT without tomato is a disgrace.
I'm not saying nothing. I want it without tomato. I just wouldn't say you thought it was the most important one.
All right. Well, I'm going to take it a step further and say ingredient number two, most important, is mayo. Because don't give me that dry-ass BLT. The mayo ties everything together. It's like the gravy on Thanksgiving. It just does all. It carries a lot of weight. You're going to want the mayo on both pieces of toast. Don't just put mayo on one piece of toast.
No, you have to say it like you said it to me.
I forget how I said it.
Mayo on both sides or get the fuck out.
Okay.
That's what you said.
That's right.
That's also mayo being second is fucking absurd.
That's how I feel, like I said. Is it more absurd than lettuce being one? No, it's not.
Fine.
Third most important is the quality of toast, which I agree with you must be toasted. Cannot be wheat bread. I will be so upset if you give me wheat bread.
Don't ever just give me wheat bread. Especially not without telling me it's going to be wheat bread. If I bite into a bread and I don't know it's wheat, I'm going to be livid.
I'm going to spit it into your face. I'm going to call the waiter back over to my table so I can spit it in his face. You can do white. You could do like a Texas toast or a sourdough, like you said. I like to buy the buttermilk bread from the store.
I have buttermilk bread in the cabinet right now.
Yeah, the loaf that costs like $4 more than a regular loaf of bread, but it's worth it. Yeah.
Worth it.
Fourth most?
Is Sydney Simonton listening?
Am I fat? Katie just laughed from the bedroom. The fourth most important ingredient is bacon. You might think that would be higher, but how do you like your bacon on a BLT? I think there's a fine line between crispy and chewy. It's kind of a cop-out answer, but I like it kind of right in the middle.
No, I get it. I definitely usually lean to more chewy bacon. And so if it was like say we're on a 100 scale, I'm going like 40 chewy, or wait, 60 chewy, 40 crispy.
I think I'm right there with you. But the reason that bacon is 4 on my list is that I would rather have real nice, hearty, fresh tomato and microwave Costco bacon than have like gourmet bacon and crappy tomato.
You've just changed my entire rankings. Because this is something that Joe and I had discussed, was that bacon is bacon.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine, and for whatever it is, it's going to be remotely the same.
Yeah.
A good tomato is a good tomato.
See, now you're starting to see. You're starting to see the light.
It's still not above lettuce.
Oh, and then on the bottom of the list, lettuce, which I have in parentheses, optional.
That's ridiculous. You can't not have lettuce.
So when I put mine together, I go toast with mayonnaise, obviously. Then I stack my bacon. Then I go tomato. Then I just fluff the lettuce on top and then crunch it down with the toast.
You're making it as hard as possible to make a sandwich. That's all I'm telling you.
I'm seeing that now.
Like when you lay the lettuce down first, you're giving your sandwich a bed.
Yeah, I get that now. And I think I might have to switch it up. So I'll try that next time.
This is important.
I have one piece of proof that I don't need the lettuce is there was a point in time when Subway came out with this bacon triple cheese melt.
Jesus Christ.
which sounds as delicious as, or sorry, it is as delicious as it sounds. I would get a foot long bacon. You pick 3 different types of cheese that they put on there. And then I would just get tomato and ranch dressing. And that thing was delicious, and I sure as hell did not get lettuce. That's true. I tried to look it up and couldn't find it, but I'm certain that it was a thing. Maybe I just made it up. I'm not sure.
That's because Subway only has shreddy lettuce. You're going to want leaf lettuce, like crispy leaf lettuce.
That's actually a really good point. I would probably rather have no lettuce than shredded lettuce on a BLT. But nobody's ever tried to put shredded lettuce on my BLT because they know I would kill them.
I had a burger at work yesterday, and they give you all these options. It was actually a good meat.
Oh.
And it was a good burger. But the only lettuce they had was shredded lettuce, and I just have to have it in my burger, but I went to put it on, and it just got fucking everywhere, and it ruined my whole plate, and I was just so pissed. I'm like, why would you offer me this shredded lettuce? I was so mad.
The only place I like/tolerate shredded lettuce is Subway. Even like at Jimmy John's, I like take most of it off.
McDonald's has shredded lettuce.
Oh, you're right. On a Big Mac. I do like Big Macs. All right. So that is...
What about BLT? I do have one final follow-up question is what about the more ever-present BLTA?
Ah, the BLTA with avocado. All right. Here's how I describe this to you in my text, and I feel pretty confident about this response is... I'm okay with the BLTA. I won't ever specifically ask to add avocado onto my BLT. I'd prefer the original. However, if you go to a nice little cafe and they don't have a plain BLT on the menu, they just have a BLTA, I don't dislike the avocado enough to ask for them to take it off. I will go ahead and eat the BLTA in that instant. What's your thought on that?
This is the perfect response. I don't know. I've never met somebody so passionate about BLTs before.
And you never will again. That's what we give the listeners is passion.
I was driving home when you sent me that text message, and I laughed really hard. And honestly, I completely agreed with everything you said. I was like, I don't know if anybody else would have even given me a text back. And you were like... fully thought out how you would respond if it was and was not on the menu.
Well, that's what sets us apart, Corey. That's why we make the big bucks. That's why we have triple digit listeners.
Goddamn right.
All right. That concludes our BLT segment. We are right on time, I think. We were going to do the last Stumptown of the NFL season. And I think, I really didn't sell that very well.
No, you didn't at all.
Sorry. You know what time it is, Coyne?
What time is it?
It's time for a little game that I like to call Stumptown.
Named after the shitty show with Kobe Smulders.
That's right. That's right. Do you think you can stump me for once, Coin?
This one is pretty hard.
Okay.
So, good. If you get this, I'll be pretty impressed. I'm being honest with you, I'd never heard of this guy. So,
okay, good.
Okay. Quick one. Shouts out. I'm giving my first, maybe second shout out to Quinn Mahoney, a.k.a. Minimum effort at his job, Quahoney, because I texted him on Friday about my bank account information, and he never got back to me. That dick.
So is this a real shout-out or a reverse shout-out?
I don't know. Take it as you will.
Okay.
All right. Lost in the shuffle. Oh, sorry. Here's my Stumptown. Lost in the shuffle on Sunday, amidst high-octane offenses not being up to par, was one special lowlight. Mecole Hardman finished the game with one rush for negative 6 yards. There have been 15 instances in Super Bowl history where a non-quarterback, so not Neil Downs, finished with a rushing attempt and negative rushing yards. Only one of those times, however, did the player score a touchdown. This player, who appeared in 27 career games, had 38 career rushes and 3 career touchdowns, scored the first touchdown of the game for the Steelers to lead them over the Cardinals, only to finish with 2 rushes for negative 3 yards. Who is it?
Najee Davenport.
No.
Oh.
That would have been a sick one. If you would have drilled me right there, I'd have been pretty upset. I mean, you can have as many guesses as you want. I can't imagine you'll get this.
Is this the guy that they talk about on Bill Simmons' podcast with the prop bet thing?
It could be. I don't think so, but I don't. It might be. It'd be crazy if this is how that worked out.
I'm trying to remember who his name. His name's like Russell. Is it Russell something?
Is that, you gotta is get it? His first name.
Oh, it's his first. Oh, it's like Gary Russell. Is it
Holy fuck, are you kidding me? Oh my god. Yes. Holy shit. I didn't think any non-Steelers fan could get this. Holy shit. Good for you.
If I'm being 100% honest, I have no idea who that is. I don't recall him being an NFL player whatsoever, and I don't recall that touchdown in the Super Bowl. I only remember this because on that Bill Simmons podcast, they talk about, it's called like the Gary Russell prop bet
of
the year.
That's right. Oh, man.
Can't be
stumped. Dude, good for you. I never would have gotten that. There's no chance I would have gotten that.
It's all about association and connections in my mind. You know, it's not a big deal.
I'm honestly, this might be the most impressed I've ever been with you. Congratulations, Noel. That was
thank you.
Great Stumptown. You really had a strong showing this year, whereas strong I did show. Not. I got flustered. Can't answer.
We'll work on it. Maybe okay. You can get some basketball ones.
Okay.
All right. Okay. To end the last podcast of the NFL season, you and I are going to pick the 2021 Super Bowl outcome right now.
Right now?
And I'm going to go ahead and let you go first.
You would think I'd be going Chiefs, and you would be wrong.
Oh.
I will be going with the Eagles. Over the Teddy Bridgewater-led Los Angeles Chargers.
That's disgusting. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Do you hate it or do you hate it?
I don't hate it. I think it's a nice pick. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Seattle Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl next year.
But what?
Yeah. My guy,
I thought
Russ,
about it. I thought
who
about
I've supported
it.
My entire life.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And they are going to win over the Houston Texans.
Ah, I swear to God, I almost picked this game. So close.
I just picked that just now. This was with no prep. I forgot to prep for this question. So I'm looking at
no,
the odds
nothing
right
written
now.
Down?
Nothing written down. I'm looking at the odds on the
right now.
I don't
need
it.
So
for the record, the Eagles' odds are 25-1, and so are the Seahawks, both 25-1.
That's not bad. Honestly, I could see the Seahawks maybe, I guess. I thought about the Texans for a split second. I can't get there.
Do you want to hear who the five teams with the worst odds in the league are to win the Super Bowl?
Yes. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Redskins, Giants, Bengals, Dolphins.
You guessed three of them. So I'll just tell you, fifth highest odds is Cardinals, 85-1.
Would have been my next guess.
Next, you have the Bucks and the Bengals at both 100-1. Next, you have the Dolphins at 125-1. And then you have the Redskins at 150-1.
The
only team. So, of course, I threw a buck on it. Well, go obviously. Skins, baby.
Wait,
go
do you say 150 is all?
150-1, yeah.
That seems a little high.
You think if they played the season over 150 times next year that we would ever win the Super Bowl?
No. No.
Me neither.
No, God, no.
Haskins is going to make the leap, baby.
That would have to be quite the leap.
Just kidding. We'll trade for Cam.
Yeah. Your team is destined to go 6-10 for eternity.
I know.
What are the Falcons' odds? We're going to be in the top half of the league, right?
Yeah, 40-1, which
that's
is...
That's not bad. All right.
Yeah, that's actually...
It's not worth it.
That's actually really... Like, there's, like, 20 teams better than them.
Really?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Yeah, they're about 20th. They're tied with the likes of the Bears... And the Bills?
I can't say I argue with either of those.
No.
Like, honestly, that's probably pretty par for the course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a good season, Coin.
It has been a good season, Noel. I had a lot of fun.
Me too. Hopefully our listeners did too. Follow us on Twitter at RookieShowPod.
You can follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and Twitter. For now on Instagram, we'll see.
Follow me at Decream Fillin on Twitter and follow me at C Travis Knoll on Instagram. The C stands for Carson Wentz, actually, believe it or not. One word. Carson Wentz, Travis Knoll.
Carson Wentz. You got to say it like really fast though.
We were born the same month. I was born about 29 days first, so you know, he stole my name.
I think he might have.
Yeah. All right. Who's playing us out? Oh, jinx. How about...
Play us out, Simple Plan?
Oh! All right.
Hell yeah. Laters, guys.
All right, see ya.
Do you ever feel like breaking down? Do you ever feel out of place? Like somehow you just don't belong and no one understands you? Do you ever want